I have here a new sefer on Lag BaOmer. Always Lag BaOmer is very hard to find a good sefer that tells you in one all of the minhagim. Mm-hmm. Art School did a nice job many years ago, about 15 years ago. They put out a volume. It was a surprise to many people that Art School would publish a book on Lag BaOmer. It's a more Kabbalistic type of holiday, but they did a very fine job, a very nice volume. If you want to get a hold of something very basic about Lag BaOmer. Art Scroll.
Yeah, I have it.
It's a very, very, very good book. I remember it was people were surprised that they, it was a different time. You have to remember, you have to go back 15 years ago, it was a different world. But since then, every so often I find a safe, I find something. It's not really easy to find something that has really puts everything together in the right perspective. But this year, Baruch Hashem, I walked to the Sfarim Store and I found this little kuntres. Okay, little kuntres. Kuntres, Lag BaOmer BaHalacha VaAgada. It's definitely the best thing, for me at least, that I've ever come across on Lag BaOmer. It has it's very well written, a collection of...
In English?
No, in Hebrew. Of everything there is to know about Lag BaOmer. So I didn't get a chance to go through the entire thing. I went through a couple of pages, so let me share with you what caught my attention. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow, maybe not, but let me at least share with you some things that I found interesting. Number one, some things are posh. We've used some basic yesodas. We know that there's a simon called this in Shulchan Aruch. We actually did this inside. Peleg. Peleg is the simon for Purim and Lag BaOmer. The same day that Purim falls out upon is the day when Lag BaOmer will come out. So this past year, when was Purim? Well, how about Purim was Sunday. That's why Lag BaOmer is Sunday. And that's also, what day of Pesach is that? That's the sixth day of Pesach, right? Sixth day. Every day of Pesach. What?
Vav Pei.
Every day of Pesach corresponds to a holiday. All of the days of Pesach really correspond backwards. They correspond
except for
Purim. So Purim is
the previous Purim is the sixth day of Pesach.
The previous Purim is the sixth day of Pesach. The previous Purim, but here's the catch. But the sixth day of Pesach will be Lag BaOmer in the future. So even though, so there's truth to the simon, because again, all the letters of the simon, the first day of Pesach will be the day of the week of Tisha B'Av. The second day of Pesach is going to be Shavuos in the future. And you go to the cycle, the sixth day of Pesach was Purim last year. Okay, Purim last year, but the future...
Last month.
But it also refers to the future in regard to Lag BaOmer, because Lag BaOmer and Purim, they share the same day of the week, and this year that is Sunday. There's another simon for this, I never knew this, it's called Pilegesh. Pilegesh, a concubine. And what's the simon? Pilegesh stands for Purim, Lag BaOmer, the Shinish Shavim are equal. So Peleg, just add the Shin. New to me. Okay. Mincha before Lag BaOmer. This then on the regular year, so it's machlokes. It's machlokes. If you say mincha erev Lag BaOmer, you say tachlan. So you say tachlan erev Lag BaOmer. It's machlokes. This year it's nogea tzitkoscha tzedek. You say tzitkoscha. It's also it's machlokes. I believe the Ezra's Torah Luach says not to say tzitkoscha on Shabbos erev Lag BaOmer. Okay. Just halachic, you know, you have to be very careful on Shalashudas time to talk about your Lag BaOmer plans. Because once the sun sets, if you say, Hayoim, today is Lag BaOmer, so you can no longer count with the bracha. So you should be very careful not to say, oh, it's now Lag BaOmer. You'd be very careful after the sun sets until you actually make a bracha not to talk about Lag BaOmer, because you may inadvertently say, today is Lag BaOmer, and then you cannot make a bracha. However, if you do not say the word today, you just say, are you going to the Lag BaOmer parade? Or you just say, don't say Tach, don't say Tzidkoscha, because it's going to be Lag BaOmer.
If you say Lamed Gimel?
Say Lamed Gimel, so you're allowed to. The halacha is, as long as you don't...
Why Lamed Gimel allowed to?
Lag
say 33.
Lamed Gimel, you should be very careful. But as long as you do not say the words, today is... You don't say the word today is Lag BaOmer. You can still make a bracha. You can still make. You should be careful not to do that. Don't even talk. Don't even say Lag BaOmer. Period. After sunset until. And this year is a challenge because this year, you know, you're probably sitting around twiddling your thumbs at Shabbos. Normally, you're at work. You're busy. You're running here. You're running there. Everyone's running around during the day. After sunset. But this year it's during Shalosh Shudas times. Either you're sitting at the table by Shalosh Shudas, or you are, who knows what you're doing. You might be have a conversation. You might come to say, talk about Lag BaOmer. You got to be very careful. Especially this year, if you do make a mistake, as long as you did not say today is, you're still in the green. You can still make a bracha at night with the Shema Malchus. But if you did say today is, after the sun has set, you can no longer make a bracha. Someone else should make the bracha and you should answer Amen, and then you officially count. You count. Next, we know about music this year. You're not allowed to listen to music until the morning. Okay, you can take a haircut this year, Erev Shabbos. First thing in the morning, Alez HaShachar, you take a haircut, but you cannot listen to music. Music is by day, the day of Lag BaOmer, period. What? No, you're not. You're right. What am I saying? You're right. Music you can listen to at night. You're right. I'm sorry. Haircuts cannot be done from this year. It's not nogea because this year it's Erev Shabbos. L'chavayit Shabbos, you can take a haircut on Friday. Music you can listen to Mitzvay Shabbos. Correct. I'm sorry. I got confused. Okay. Jumping ahead. A lot of I didn't have time to go through all, but let me just jump ahead to some things which I did look at. Interesting. The history of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. I never knew all this stuff. His birth. When did he live? Who was his father? Who was his grandfather? Who was his mother? Where did he come? How did he come about? So everyone knows Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, that should be a no-brainer, right? How do you spell Bar Yochai? There really are three spellings. Is there a Yud? Or and is there an Aleph? There's certainly one or the other.
Some places
it says some has it without the Aleph, some has it with the Aleph, some have it without the Yud, some have it with the Yud. There is no name in Tanakh anywhere Yochai with the Yud. There is a name Yocho without the Yud in Tanakh. The word Yocho is a real name. We find a precedent in Tanakh, Divrei Hayamim, maybe Ezra Nechemia. It was a name. It was a common name. Yochai with the Yud does not exist. If that's the correct spelling, that's the way it really was with the Yud, then the first time this name ever appears would be the father of Rabbi Shimon. That would be one of a kind. Therefore, many suggest that it's a mistake. There is no such name with Yochai with the Yud. It's really Yocha or Yucha, Yocha. I don't know how you pronounce it without the Yud. Now, there's a legend how he was born. Rashbi was born 50 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. His father was Yochai. His father was a celebrity. Okay, that's the word we use today. He was very comfortable, very filthy. His father lived during the time of the Churban Bayis, during the Churban Bayis Sheni. He was very friendly with the Kesar, Andar Yonos. He was a colleague. And he had an inn with the Kesar Adar Yonus. He was an Askon. He was a very wealthy person. So all this brought down in various Midrashim or in the Zohar. He was a descendant from Shevet Yehuda. He was from the Gedolei Hadar, very wealthy, very well distinguished. Karv Lamalchus. And his wife's name was Sarah. And they had no children. And he was married to her for many, many years. He had no children. And it was limiting in those times, not having children after so many years, he was planning to divorce his wife and take another wife in order to have a child, to leave over someone in this world. When his wife suspected that she would be divorced, she had enormous pain. Havali banim v'ayin meso noichi. So what did she do? She was mispalel, l'chol liba, into very, very intense tefillas. And the legend is that one, he was not even aware of her intense tefillah, maybe was, seems not, and it was on the night of Rosh Hashanah, he had a dream, and in his dream he saw, he was in a forest, and in the forest there were many types of trees, and all the trees were barren, and along came a malach, and the malach came, and the malach took water from a very large container, and he poured water on some trees. Some trees he poured water, some trees he did not pour water. The waters upon which he poured water blossomed. And the waters that he did not pour water did not blossom. Then he came to the tree which Yochai was leaning against. And instead of taking out the regular container of water and pouring water on the tree, he took out of his pocket a small container, a special container of water, and he poured this water on the tree. And the tree blossomed. Miraculously blossomed. He woke up, Yochai woke up, and he was overwhelmed, shaken up by this dream. He said to his wife, Sarah, I had this dream. What does this dream mean? So she says, I don't know exactly what it means. Why not go to Rabbi Akiva? Let's go to the famous Rabbi Akiva who was living at that time. This, I guess, was right before the Bar Kokhba revolt, 80 years after the Churban, 90 years after the Churban, 52 years, 90 years, 80 years, different opinions. Let's go to Rabbi Akiva and have him interpret this dream, what this dream means. So they went to Rabbi Akiva. Yochai went to Rabbi Akiva with his wife Sarah, and he told him what it means as follows. The trees represent all of the women who are akoros, who are barren. The Malach came, a Roshana, in order to be poiked, the Noshim Akoros, the women who are barren. And all of those he poured water on, they are going to receive a bracha, they're going to have children. He came to you, the tree that you lean upon, which is your wife, it's Alpi Derech HaTeva, it's impossible for her to have children. So he took out a special flask. The regular water would not have done the job. So he took out a special flask. That flask were the tears of your wife. The tears of your wife were collected in this flask. He poured this flask on the roots of this tree, and therefore you're going to have children. And indeed, that year she had children. She had a child. When was he born? There are two different opinions. Either he was born on Shavuos, or some say he was born on, guess which day he was born on? Lag BaOmer. Why? Because if he died on Lag BaOmer, even that's not so simple, then we have a tradition. Hashem is memalei the shneis of shel tzadikim miyayim liyayim. So memalei, how did he was born on Lag BaOmer? Either he was born on Shavuos or Lag BaOmer. He was born. They called him Shimon. Why was he called Shimon? Ki Hashem shama koili. Hashem heard my cry. Because Hashem heard my cry, Mimela, that's why I call him by the name of Shimon. So it's important to keep in mind that Rashbi is a product of Tefillah. His whole existence came through the Koyach HaTefillah. Therefore, it's very appropriate that Lag BaOmer is a date when we focus on Rashbi to be Mispala. He is a product of Tefillah. El Hanar Hazeh Hispaloti, like Shmuel, like Yitzchak, like all of the others. The Nela, a person who's a product of tefillah, has a certain affinity to the Koyach HaTefillah, can be Misayeya in our tefillahs. Now, the question is, why does he always go by the name Bar Yochai? Very often in Tanakh, he's mentioned by the name Bar Yochai. He doesn't even mention his own name. Bar Yochai Moshachta, Ashrecha. So why does he always go by Bar Yochai? So it's very interesting. It's because his father was not necessarily the greatest Talmud Chacham. Rashbi was only Torah. Okay, Rashbi, we don't find Rashbi. Rashbi was a very colorful figure. He was all over the world, it seems. Many we find Mamari Chazal, find him all over Eretz Yisrael. But what he was known for was his Hanelus Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. Not necessarily for Maisim Tovim. We don't find him being an Askan, running around the world and redeeming all of the captives and feeding the Yisaimim and the Almanos. And doing chesed, that's not what his thing was. Certainly he did that also, but his main avodah was Torah. On the other hand, his father was, his big avodah was chesed. Yochai was not in the Beis Medrash Yom Valayla. Yochai was Karav L'Malchus. He was like Mordechai. Mordechai was Karav L'Malchus. He was involved in politics. He was providing solutions for all of the problems of Klal Yisrael. There's Machloikis. What is better? What is better? Is it better for a person to be Oisik B'Torah, or is it better for a person to be Oisik Gemilas Chasadim? Now, not everyone has the option. Not everyone has the opportunity. It means a person who has an opportunity to do one or the other, like some like Mordechai HaYehudi in the Megillah. He could have sat in the Lishka Sagazis the entire day and certainly learned Torah. He had an opportunity to be Karav L'Malchus. So what did Mordechai decide to do? Mordechai decided that it's more important to be Oisik in Askanus, Hishtaldonus, what's called it? Hishtaglonus? Askonus? That's more important than sitting in Kol Yom HaVelayla in his situation where he had the opportunity to do so. Was that opinion accepted by Klal Yisrael? Zmachlekes. Leroy Vechav. The majority of the Sanhedrin felt that it's more important when you have an opportunity to be Oisek in. Yeah, what? The majority agreed. The majority agreed that it's more important to be Isaac in Askanos than it is to be Isaac in Talmud Torah when you have the opportunity. Ratzui leroy ve'achav. Nenela. So here we have Rashbi. So he says in the Farshas and said Rashbi. He was kula Torah. His father was kula Chesed. Was Karv l'malchus. You go. You follow Holchem Achar Harayif. So therefore, he was mevatel himself to his father. When people think about me, they think about Torah. When they think about my father, they think about Askanus. Right. So we don't appreciate this. We just think of Rashbi, Shimon Yochai. We don't know who Rashbi was. We don't know who Rabbi Shimon was. We don't know who Rabbi Yochai was. But if you were living in the times when you would say Rashbi, what came to mind was Kula Torah, Torah Lishma, Lakewood, whole life, nothing but Torah. And when you say Yochai, you think about Ivanka Trump. You think about someone who's sitting in there, someone who is working on for Klal Yisrael in the highest echelons of Malchus. She has an office. Since when did you have that? Are you talking in the history of the world? Someone who's Shomer Shabbos has an official office in the White House? Hafle v'fella. We never had such a thing in the history of the world. Someone who's Shomer Shabbos, an office mamish.
They have a Shabbos elevator.
What? They have a Shabbos elevator there? They don't need an elevator there. It's Hafle v'fella what's going on in this world. Okay, so when you would say the word Yochai, it would evoke in the mind of the common man Malchus, Askanus, Aguda, I know people lobbying the government for all different, whatever you're doing. So therefore he had a dilemma. How should I sign my name? If I sign my name, it was Shimon Torah. If I sign my name, Bar Yochai, it's going to be Askanis. I sign both. You have to go Basarayv. V'ratzui l'roi ve'achav. Roi, most of the Chacham hold that it's more important, the lesson is Chesed. Okay, Mashiach is going to come not from the Koich of Torah, it's from the Koich of Chesed. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Baruch Atah Hashem, again Avraham. Menela, he felt that since his father was par excellence the Hishtadlon of Klal Yisrael, Menela, it's not a covet for him to say Shimon Bar Yochai, to put the Koyach of Torah next to the Koyach of the Hishtadlonus of his father. Menela, therefore, he was makbid to always refer to himself by Bar Yochai. It's an interesting idea, a novel idea of why he's called like that. Now, his mother's name was Sarah. Some say his mother's name was Chomu. So he's their nickname of Chumi. So his name was Chomei. Chomei is an Aramaic word which means to see. It's interesting, that means that his name was Shmia Bar Re'ia. So again, one opinion holds his name was Sarah. Other opinions hold that his mother's name was Chomei. That was the name of his mother, which means to see, or Koyach of Re'iyah. His name was Shemiah. Shimon means to listen. He is a Shemiah, the child of a Royah. Ein edoyme Shemiah l'Re'iyah. Listening, Re'iyah is better. But you should know it's not necessarily better. It's different. Ein edoyme, Chazal don't say it's better. Ein edoyme Shemiah l'Re'iyah. What does that mean? You can't compare. They're two different worlds. Shmia has milus that Ria does not have. You have to think of it as a very deep idea. To be a product, the ultimate mila is to be a shemeya that comes, that is derived after Ria. Hearing without seeing is nothing. Ain't a dog, Ria, a picture is worth 1,000 words. But if you don't have sound, you don't have audio, what's it worth? I can't make out. I can't make out.
Also,
you see something, this audio and this video. Okay, we all know, you go online, you can watch the video. If you don't see, you don't hear the sound, it's worthless. You don't understand what's going on. You have to have the sound. So if you have, but if I don't have the sound, I don't have the Ria. But when you have the Shmia, after you've had the Ria, the Shmia is infinite. The Shmia is much greater. The Mela Rashbi really is the ultimate. He is a Shemea who is the product of a child of a Re'iyah. It's not just Kishoma Hashem Kol Rohi. There's a drush. So what does that mean? Rohi Mes HaKolos?
That both.
A little bit of both. But what is the ikur? Which one is better? Which one is better? It's not so silly which one is better. You need both. And then when you have both, you have to focus on, now that I have both, from which one of the two that I have, do I gain more have I grown from more the Shmiya element or the Re'i element? Okay, next idea about his family. Okay, his family, who was the son? Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. Rabbi Eliezer was son. Some say that he was the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, he was the Paitan, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, who ruled the Piyutim. That's a very far stretch to say that, but some want to say that at least his neshama, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir's neshama, was somehow connected to the neshama of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rashbi. Who was his grandson? Anyone who was grandson? The grandson of Rabbi of Rashbi. It was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the son of Rabbi Elazar, Uben Benohu Rabbi Yossi. He was the grandson.
He was the Talmud from Akiva, no?
They were all Talmudim.
How could
they
be?
They are the grandson
so
also.
Generations later.
I don't know. Maybe it was more than one Rabbi Yossi. I don't know the answer. Who was his son-in-law? He had a daughter. It seems that Rashbi had a daughter. I mean, he had a daughter, maybe it was Rabbi Loz, I'm not sure if it was Rashbi's daughter or it was Rabbi Loz's daughter, Pinchas ben Yair. Pinchas ben Yair was the son-in-law of either Rashbi or Rabbi Eliezer. Just an interesting idea, how many times do we find Rashbi in Shas and in the Talmudim and in the Midrashim?
Was it Rashbi or Reb Shimon? Because Reb Shimon is also...
Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rashbi. Yeah. Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rashbi. It means Reb Shimon also. Also, Stam Sifrei. Sifrei is the collection of Midrashim on Bamidbar and Devarim is Rashbi. Okay, how many times is it in Yediyah? 4,245 times. That's how many Mamorim of Rashbi. Isn't that amazing? Now, he was all over the place. We find him in Chazal and Tzidoin. In we find him in Yavne, Tokoa, Usha, Bnei Brak, Meron, Beis Pagei, Tzipoire, Kuput Kaya. He was all over the place. Maybe they could find him in Mexico and Canada also. I don't know. But
he was
all over the place. Okay, next idea. Now this is something. Okay, now let's jump ahead. This is probably the best thing I saw in the Sefer. Okay, I'm jumping ahead. Something that I like is that what do you do on Lag BaOmer? Okay, there are a lot of things. We'll discuss some of these things in a moment. But one of the things you're supposed to do on Lag BaOmer is a minhag is to have a su'uda, have a meal. Not just stam a su'uda. You have a su'uda the whole year, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. A su'uda where you make sure you invite a guest. You have to invite a guest to this su'uda. This is brought down in the year. It's very interesting in talking to different communities. But the best thing is not just to have a guest, to have a guest from Eretz Yisrael. Did you ever hear that? To bring to your Suda a guest from Eretz Yisrael, because Rashbi is an Eretz Yisrael, you bring him in, and you give him the benching. Why do we want you to give him the benching? Because in the Birchas HaMazon, I don't know if you ever do this, if you do this, I guarantee you, you'll be invited to come back as a guest again. If someone invites you to a meal, people don't do this. Some people do, they don't do it. But you'll score big points. You get a touchdown. Score big ball is when you come to the Birchas Ho'ireach, the blessing of the guest. It's printed Kamat today in every bencher. Today we have nice new benchers. They all print. When you get to the Harachamans, there is a beautiful Yehi Ratzon that you're supposed to say this. You're supposed to say that the Balabayis should not be embarrassed. Not in this world. Not Shalayevosh, Balabayis, Vel Mazev, Lo Yikolu Maba. V'yitzlach ma'oy b'chol nichasav v'yiyu nichasav u'nichasenu mutzlachim u'krayvim l'ir v'al yishloit satan lo b'masayadav lo b'masayadenu v'al yizdaker lo lefanav lo lefanenu shum dvar hiru chayt v'yav v'avim yav me'atav v'yarlam. Even if you mumble through the whole benching, okay, when you get to this, you say it loud, you say it slow, I guarantee your host will freeze. They'll just freeze. How often do you have someone actually giving them a bracha, part of Birchas HaMazon? They like it. They'll love it. They gobble this up. They're all excited. And they'll ask you, when are you coming back next time? Next time we're going to serve tongue and mustard if you'll only come back.
No,
now,
but it's given to the
Kohen. Okay, so, very good. Good kasha. It doesn't belong to us. Okay, good kasha. So, let me ask you. Who is the one that invented this idea that you should give Birchas HaMazon to the guest, and the guest should recite this Yehi Ratzon? And who is the one that composed this Nusach? Take a guess. It was Rashbi. It was Rashbi was the one who actually says, the machlokes, who gets benching? It's not so simple. Who do you give benching to? Some old balabayish should get the benching. Because on Pesach, you don't give benching to a guest. Pesach, lo Pesach, there's a hakpada that the balabayish should bench. But on a regular Shabbos, a regular day, it's not so simple. The MS, the balabayish should bench. It's Rashbi. He's the one that holds no, that it's preferred that you should give the benching. The Orech should bench. Okay, let me just pause over here. What does he say? What's the Maamar Chazal? I can't even find the Maamar Chazal, but it's Rashbi who was of the opinion that the guest is the one who gets benching, and the guest should make Birchas, should recite this bracha. Memela, what more better thing can you possibly do on Lag BaOmer than to be mekayim the words of Rashbi? In fact, they all bring down that the neshama gets a lot of more nachas ruach. When you learn, if a person is nifted, he leaves over sefarim. He wrote chidushim, sefarim. He gets much greater nachas ruach to learn from his sefarim than to go to his grave and be mispal by his grave. What greater nachas could there be for Rashbi than on Lag BaOmer to make a suda, invite someone, you want extra points, someone from Eretz Yisrael, and you should be mechabed him with benching, to mekayim the requirement, the instructions of Rashbi, and have the guest recite the Birchas Oireach to the Balabayis. That's a home run. You mean Mekayim the Halacha of Rashbi on the day of Lag BaOmer B'yom Hilula. It's a very beautiful minuk. Now, what should you eat on Lag BaOmer? So some minuk to eat. Now we only eat. You don't see this anymore. But before then, over here, in different communities, they were very mad to eat carob, to eat buxer. You don't see that. They only sell buxer on Tu B'Shvat. But Rashbi, for 13 years, what did he eat? He ate boxer. It's a merames, I guess, in our study. We don't want to have such standards. We want to have a tongue. The good things to eat. But he was, only way you become a Talmud Chacham is only through being memayit in the Tanuvi Olam Hazeh. Only if you accept upon yourself, you diminish your enjoyment of this world, will you succeed in Torah? So there is such a minik. There is also a minik to eat, to drink milchik. Have milchik stick a meal, not fleishiks. Why? Because Lag BaOmer is hoyd shebehoyd, right? We all know that. Those letters in Asriya Saimer is hoyd. What is hoyd? Hoyd is the same, the opposite of dava. What is dava? Dava. Dalet vav hey, dava means nida. Isha benidas divosa titma. In her flowing of blood, she is put away. She is separated. She is set aside. The word dava is used in connection with the flowing of blood. And Chazal say that when the isha becomes pregnant, she no longer has a period. The blood turns into milk. When a woman is nursing, once she's nursing, she's not experiencing a period because what would be the dam nida is converted, dam nechar v'naseh, cholof turns into milk, and then the child nurses from the milk. So being that on this day it is hoyd is the same letters as dava. I don't know what this means in Kabbalah, but somehow it's a day when the dam is nechar, in Kabbalah and Yanim, the naseh cholof. There's dava turning into hod. When the dava, which is dam, is now being reversed into hod, the dam is reversed. That's a time of milk. That's a time when we should focus on the machol of cholof. So therefore, there are two different things to eat: milk and boxer. To have a suuda, invite a guest, and have him recite the birchas ho'ireach. Okay, next topic. Let's talk about bows and arrows. There is a minhag on Lag BaOmer to shoot bows and arrows. Why is that so? So the simple reason is because the Mabel, it says, Hinei Kashti, I have given the Keshas as an oath, Kashti, Lidoi Roysam. The word Lidoi Roys is Choser Vav. There are two missing Vavs. Which Chazal say, why are they missing Vavs? There were two generations when there was no need for Hashem to have a keshes, a rainbow in the sky, because the rainbow is a sign that Hashem really wants to destroy the world, and he would destroy the world. It's only because of the rainbow, the bris he made with us, that he will have rachmonis upon us. Which generations did not need this rainbow? One was a generation of Rashbi, and the other was the generation of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So these generations, they had tzaddikim amongst them, and therefore you did not need the, so therefore to show that the generation of tzaddik like Rashbi, we did not need the ois bris of the keshes. But Meila, that's why the children go out with the keshes, to remind us of what it means to have living with you a tzaddik. You have a tzaddik with you, you don't need to have a rainbow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. That's one reason. Another reason given is because on Lag BaOmer is when the Mabul began. It says in the Torah that in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the Niftichu Arubos HaShamayim. Niftichu Arubos HaShamayim, Lag BaOmer is the 18th day of the second month. The second month, assuming going from Nisan, Iyar. Now what does it say in Rashi? What does it say in Rashi? Vahi Geshem La'aretz La'arbor, Yom Rashi over here says, the Ein Yom Rishon Min HaMinyan, even though it says in the Pasuk it was B'yud Zayin B'chodesh, the first day was not part of the calculation, L'fi She'ein Leiloi Imoi. It began, we don't conclude that, so therefore even though it would be the rain began is for 40 days. The rain began by day, but we do not take the 17th day into the calculation of the 40 days of the Mabul, because it was only a day without a night. So the first day that's part of the calculation of the 40 days of the Mabul is the 18th day of the second month, which is Lag BaOmer. So it was on Lag BaOmer when the Mabul began. The Mabul, first full day, when we say there were 40 days the Mabul began, that's remaining from the 18th day. The 18th day of Iyar. So therefore, the Mabul resulted in what? The world can be destroyed once again. Hashem said, do not worry, I will not bring another Mabul. I'm going to create the rainbow. The rainbow is going to be the sign that another Mabul will not happen. So that's why it's another reason why we have a minute to have a bow and arrow on Lag BaOmer. Nothing to do with Rashbi, just as a reminder that the Mabul began on this day, and Hashem made a bris ois that he's not going to destroy the world again anymore. Keshes, that he's not going to destroy the world. Another time is we refer to Rashbi, it's very Keshes, it's Rashi Tevos, Kivutsoisov, Taltalim Shechorois. Beautiful words. His locks are black mounds, and locks of black, beautiful hair. It refers to Yoifi, beauty. And Lag BaOmer is a day of beauty. It's a day when nature, it's mamish, the spring. It's like, you know, the spitz of the spring. Spring begins, Chodesh Ha'aviv. Think about Lag BaOmer, you know, that's like really, normally the weather of Lag BaOmer is out of this world. The Bria of Lag BaOmer is Kivut Soysav. Just like in man, when you're in a certain age, you're in a Madrega, in your prime. Okay, someone, I guess, like a 18-year-old, someone maybe until they're 22, in their early 20s, Kivut Soysav, Shechoyros Taltalim, the Bria is in a Matzev on Lag BaOmer, Kivut Soysav, Taltalim Shechoyros, Oisios Keshes. Another stam reason is because it's Galgal. What is it's Lag BaOmer. That's Lag BaOmer, Lama Gimel, Galgal, right? Galgal. So what is half of a gal? Galgal is, what is, Galgal HaChoyezebel, a full circle, a full circle. So you have a half a circle, well, you only have a gal.
Like a
half a circle is a keshes. So being that it's Lag, and Lag is only half of the Galgal, so Mela, to remind us, so we have, I have, this is Stam, a little Remes. Okay, it's a big thing. A lot of Hasidic Rebbe is the very beginning of the shooting, which we were to be Makai in this meaning of the bow and the arrow. Okay, let's just talk one other quick thing. Of shaving, of cutting the hair. A child cuts their hair on the meaning is the chalaka. The chalaka on Lag BaOmer. It is the meaning, no, I'll tell you another meaning, then which totally new is another meaning of Lag BaOmer. It seems it was very common is that anyone in the past year that turned 60 years old, it was very common, it says, since in the hundreds of years ago, not so long ago, is to make a birthday party on Lag BaOmer for all of the people in the community who have become 60 years old since last Lag BaOmer.
60
they've passed this chorus. They've been free, the cutoff point of Karis. This was the minhag. Why Lag BaOmer? Why particularly Lag BaOmer? It was this day of minhag. I don't know why. It was a big, big event. And they invited the entire community, even the goyim, even the politicians, the goyim. It was a big, big thing on this Lag BaOmer to have such a celebration for all those people that have reached this certain age. Also, another very interesting minhag that was done in ancient times was they would bury shemais. Today you don't hear it. Today Shemos, you just, it's a nuisance. It comes to Erev Pesach, there's a truck somewhere outside on Avenue J, Avenue M, and there's always a scandal where they bury the Shemos, what goes on. There's always articles, what happens with the Shemos. It was a minig on Lag BaOmer to bury Shemos. They would go out, they would collect all the Shemos, there was a ceremony. Why Lag BaOmer? I guess, I don't know, this Kedusha, what it has to do with Lag BaOmer, but this was something which was brought down, he used it a few times, and this is new to me, this minig of burying Shemos. Okay, the Chalaka, shaving off the hair, where is this? A remes, this is the Hiskaloch in Parashas Tazria, it is the 33rd Pasuk. The 33rd Pasuk of the Perek. I forgot which Perek it is.
Big Gimel.
And it's a very big Gimel. Why big Gimel? When you're 3 years old. When you're 3 years old is when the Chalaka, it's the Hiskalach, you shave off the hair and you produce, you literally the pay us over to the child. Why B'davka they do this on Lag B'Omer? It's a Mdavar Pashat on Ma'od. Is because if there's any example of someone whom you want your children to be like, it's Rashbi. Who doesn't want his child to be Mole Torah and Yirah Shemayim like Rashbi? There's no greater Talmud Chacham than Rashbi besides Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashbi, Talmidei Chachamim. Memela, when the child becomes, it doesn't mean 3 years old, approximately, either a little bit before, a little bit after, that's the time when you bring the child to Torah. Yep. You shave off his head, you leave over the payos, you put on tzitzis, you bring him lemitzvos. Who is the dogma of what we yearn our child should be like? Rashbi. That's why it's done specifically on Lag BaOmer. All right, there are more things. Mishnah will do this maybe tomorrow.
If people were bringing matzah tomorrow, we can make it a lekeno, bench with a lekeno.
That's on Thursday. Tomorrow. Pesach Sheni is tomorrow.
Tonight is Pesach Sheni. I make tonight lekeno. That's right.